Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. Chodesh Tov to everybody. It is, of course, today was. Now it's the evening. It's early on base, but it was Rosh Chodesh Shuno, be Tu B'Shvat. But once it's almost Tu B'Shvat, it's almost Purim. Once it's almost Purim, it's almost Pesach. I'm sorry, but I said to the kids, it really is. That means, Be'ezras Hashem, it's 2 months. It's 2 months to Nisan. So here we go. So Chodesh Tov, it should be a Chodesh of Besuros Tovos and Simchas, and just like the trees regrow, they look totally, utterly barren. It looks like there's nothing left when to go outside. How could there possibly be life hidden here? And sometimes that's how Knesset Yisrael looks. And it really relates to our learning very much, because we're working on enhancing our emunah and increasing the level of awareness of us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And sometimes it looks for ourselves that we feel a disconnect, or we feel we haven't grown. Every person goes through this. Or we feel we are stagnant, perhaps, in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this class is helping us heighten that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And just like the trees regrow, even though when it looks like it's so barren, we should never give up on ourselves. I just saw Hani Macha said, welcome, that Hani Macha says that the first principle of Avodas Hashem, she says, the Kotzker says, the first principle of Avodas Hashem, says the Kotzker, is that a person must love theirself. The Kotzker Rebbe says the first principle in the Torah is that a person has to love themselves. I'm actually looking up. I wasn't even planning to say this. I want to tell you a gorgeous... I just want to say before I forget, okay? We're learning Lilui Nishmas and Lezecher Nishmas, Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShal, Miriam Shem Shed Heaven Aliyah, in the merit of our weekly Torah. Just a couple of insights into it. It was just Rosh Chodesh, coming up to Tu B'Shvat, and sometimes we might struggle, whether it's with our emunah, as we're learning in the Sefer, whether it's belief in ourselves, or we don't see the fire within, like Moshe saw the fire at the burning bush, and we feel we're in a stagnant place. We can always regrow. The tree always, the tree regrows. How is it possible? The tree that looks barren, and there's no leaves, and there's no fruit, and it's cold, and it's frozen ground, it could regrow. Henny said, I want to tell you a gorgeous, gorgeous Torah thought from the Kotzker Rebbe. This is Henny verbatim because they have recordings of her actual teachings. The Kotzker came into his base midrash. I said, I want someone to tell me the number one principle of the Torah. So what did they say? V'haftal recha kamocha, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Excuse me, Zach, Kago Dova Torah. Love your fellow as you love yourself. That's a principle in the Torah. So the Rebbe said, no, that's the number two principle, said the Kotzker. What's the number one principle? To love yourself. You can only love your fellow if you love yourself. If you love yourself first, you have to see your own chashivas, your own importance. You don't ever, I don't know, maybe you do, maybe you don't. I find them much harder on myself than I am on other people, which is good. It should be. I shouldn't be on other people. But if I do something and I beat myself up for it, it just happened to me. I thought to myself, if someone else did this, would I talk to them like that? Would I say to them, how could you do that? No. So why do you say it to yourself? You have to believe in yourself. You're like the tree. Even if you're in a place where you're barren or you don't have leaves or you don't see the potential to have fruit, it's not true. You have to say to yourself, you're great. I'm quoting Hani. You're special. You're unique. You have talents. There never was anybody like you. There never will be anybody like you. You're the only one in the whole world with your personality, energy, and capabilities. You have to realize first your own greatness. It's actually going to relate to our learning very much today, because on page 93, the second page, which Ezra Sashem Bli Neder will get to, he speaks about lo tov hayos ha'adam levado. It's not good for a man to be alone. But before a man can embrace somebody else, you have to first embrace yourself. If a person's not spiritually healthy with themselves, it's very hard to embrace somebody else. Everyone has to be self-empowered with their vitality, their creativity. Use your personality, talents, abilities to serve Hashem. So when a person has to know who they have to know they love themselves. After you love yourself, you will be able to have the same feeling and kavod, endorsement and empowerment to other people. So we should take a Mr. Haskell from the Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan. The fact that the tree rejuvenates, in a sense, metaphorically, obviously, never gives up on itself. It's all the way to the point where it looks dead. But the tree says, I have so much potential here. I'm not dead. I can come back. I could bear fruit. I could be productive. I could give shade. I could give oxygen. The world needs me. That's what we have to say about ourselves. Bishuli nivra ha'olam. It's a hard avoda. Maybe not for everybody, for me. Okay. Let's go. We're on page 92. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. Page 92. Certainly this requires tremendous effort. I don't know what the previous sentence was, but I'm sure it's something to do with finding Hashem and emunah. Certainly this requires tremendous effort. You must keep thinking about it and keep trying to feel it. But the main thing is not to give up. Ha! Why don't we just say? You have to be like the tree. You cannot give up on yourself. The last thing that we spoke about is speaking to Hashem as if you're holding a phone in your hand and conversing with someone you don't see. I remember clearly. Remember, if you came here from Mars and you see three people using cell phones, four people, five people, you're going to start to understand that there's someone on the other end of the line. This works. Okay. Keep thinking about this. Keep trying to feel it. The main thing is not to give up. You must keep trying. You have to be confident. Hashem is here and he's listening. In the Sfarim, there's a principle. Everything follows the beginning. If you start the day with the awareness that Hashem is nearby, you will possess the key to feeling his closeness throughout the entire day. Oh, how's everyone doing? Whoever wants to share. Who was here last time? How you doing, Moda Ani? I'm working on it. Is anyone else? And?
I'm not a morning person. So I'm usually running late to begin with. So like it's usually...
It's not your strongest point of the day in the first place, you mean? Okay, but so then you get extra schar. Working on something that's harder for you is even more schar than something that's easier. Okay, Shani, yeah?
Sometimes I don't say it out loud, but I think it before I say more to Ani.
So you're, right, so I'm trying.
Hashem is here, you know, because of you, and we cannot, like that kind of thing, and then...
I'm trying to remember who gave me the neshama and who am I thanking. We have to be confident. Hashem is here and he's listening. Did you want to say something? Okay, everything follows the beginning. So therefore, you must start the day with the awareness Hashem is nearby. And then you will possess the key to feeling his closeness throughout the entire day. You have to have a strong start. You know the expression, first impressions are lasting? So if every day is a brand new day, HaMechalish B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Masa Bereishis, Hashem HaMechalish B'tuvo, in his goodness, he renews, Chadesh, the whole world, Masa Bereishis, every single day. So then every day you have a new chance to make a first impression. Isn't that an amazing power? It's not like, oh, it's you again. God doesn't come to you and say, oh, you? You did such a bad job yesterday. I have you in my classroom again. Really? No. HaMechadish B'tuvo. In his goodness, he forgets the person you were yesterday, so to speak. B'chol Yom Tamid, Ma'aseh Bereishis. Everything was created by Ma'aseh Bereishis, including man and woman. I told you he's going to mention the creation of man and woman shortly. We're all created. That means every day you're a new person. So Hashem doesn't remember that yesterday I didn't do a good job and I woke up and said, Modani. Hashem says, wow, let's see how it's going today. And if you start with that positive first impression and that awareness, you possess a key. And the key is you can unlock the feeling that Hashem is close to you through the whole day. It's very powerful to contemplate, especially when we consider that it's not just once a year on Rosh Hashanah, he gives us a new chance. Every day, it's a new world, and every day, it's a new chance. I'm quoting from the Sefer, I think I recommended it last time, yes? Tara Namuna and Harnof by Mrs. Risa Rotman. So her husband, Chaim / Howie Rotman, they were Olim from Canada, was the final person to be Nifter, the final Kadosh, who died after the Har Nof massacre. He was in a coma for almost 1 year. While waiting my turn before one session, Gail and I were schmoozing. She was talking to her friend. Look, I said bravely, I have prepared myself for the possible reality that Chaim could be in a coma for the next 30 years. Gail stared at me. How can you, she said, her eyes open wide. The book is very honest, very open. She's very,
raw.
I was going to say very stark about her feelings, very raw. And with tremendous faith, but very straight. How can you say that, said her friend. And she said, this is very, to me, very powerful line. I'm just not willing to go down the good fairy path. This would be my mantra afterward. Most people appreciated my candor. That's what we're choosing. Some people claimed I was super special. Others thought I was a pessimist. Again and again, I had to deal with the people of the mindset. If I would only think positively, anything could happen. She said she did not appreciate that. Her husband was in a coma. Her positive thoughts would help her get through the day. Her positive thoughts would not necessarily make her husband wake up and start dancing. As if it were in my hands. What I hoped, rather than going down the good fairy path, is that what I hoped I was doing was accepting Hashem's will and going with it as best as possible. It's something that I've heard from different people in different situations before. So a person who went through a trial with cancer, they should live and be well, and may have asked Shana, told me it was very difficult when people said, everything positive, everything's going to be okay. You think positive, it might help you get through the Nisayan as a person. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you will automatically, after a certain point, have Rofu Shleima. It really, and she's very candid about it. Candid's the wrong word. Candid's the right word?
Yeah.
Open about it. Not so much raw, very real. To her, she didn't think she was a pessimist. Rather, she's saying, this is the nature of the situation now. Yes, you want to say something? You want to say something?
I think it's interesting when also when you think about Hani Machlis, who has a whole different attitude
Ashkafa.
than
Risa Rotman.
And everybody does things differently. Yes. There was in the New York Times...
One second, that's for sure true. Everyone deals with their situation in the way that works for them. Both of these women have tremendous, if you read through these books, no one doubts the Amunah, I'm just clarifying, no one doubts the Amunah of either of them. And you know, that should speak to us very strongly because, you know, one of the kids said to me, tell me how many women come to Shari. I said, it depends on the night. I said, 10 women, 50 women, busy night could be 20. I said, it depends on the night. Everybody, even though we're learning the same sefer and the same material, still ultimately has a different approach. But if you maintain your emunah and your kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam, there could be different paths. Yes, so I just want to clarify, they're both full of emunah. I didn't mean to imply anything otherwise. It's a different path. Go ahead, New York Times.
I know. Yes, I still read it. There was an article that talked about, it was in the health section of this week, and next week they talked yes. about how people approach mourning. And it was interesting because there is no one way.
Right.
And everybody deals with it differently. And not to necessarily tell one person's taking too long, get over it. Because people deal with it differently and you kind of have to roll with the punches. And this, you know,
is how she would deal with it. What she said was, I hope I was doing was accepting Hashem's will and going with it as best as possible. That was her mach. Before your comment, one second. As with Ellie's death, Rachmana Litzlan, a number of years before her husband was axed in Har Nof, which she speaks about very rawly and very openly and very honestly, his injuries, etc., they lost a son. Their son, Ellie, a teenage boy, there's a few pictures of him in the Sefer. He was nifter in a terrible accident. As with Ellie's death, here, if you could, this was their son, Ellie.
What, who was that?
Yes. What did you say?
Yeah. It was the person who passed away.
Yeah, Rothman's son.
This is her son who passed away. Okay? And she writes, as with Ellie's death and now the horrific attack, listen what she says. A different approach. Nevertheless, she writes, I completely saw Yad Hashem. So it's two approaches. One approach is, just because I believe in the positive doesn't mean I'm going to get better. The other approach is, believe things will be positive, it will get better. But the ultimate goal is, quote, I completely saw Yad Hashem. That's what she writes. It is sometimes the smaller things that I have to work on letting go of. The everyday stuff, when my blender breaks, I can't find a place to park, bureaucratic difficulties that are annoying. It's a lifelong process. And this, no matter what your approach, this is true of all of us. And I'm bringing it to you because he says when you wake up in the morning, we're trying to start that day. Remember we said a first impression is lasting, but every day you can make a new first impression. I keep trying to remind myself, Hashem, this is where you placed me. Whether a traumatic event, a difficult relationship, she writes this, or something much more minor. Whatever situation she's in, she sees Yad Hashem. She tries to work through the small things, and no matter what, she reminds herself. And she writes, it's a lifelong process. How many times has our author told us? This is a process, weeks, months, years. Hashem, I remind myself, this is where you placed me. Yes. Go ahead, please.
I heard that goes along with this, that everybody has such a different way of mourning. Like my daughter told me that a friend of hers had a 9-month stillborn. So she really didn't, I mean, she was a teacher in a school. All the students knew that she was going to have a baby, and she was out one day. And she didn't, like, that was it. She was out a week, and she went back to work, and she just told her, she said, I have 4 healthy children, I have to. And that was her way. It was like so, like, different than, like, we had a 40-day-old baby that was Nif Harris, and we're still mourning, like, a couple of years later. So I just found it very hard. How people are different. But it was like shock.
And everyone's different. And yeah, the ultimate goal of all of us is we're really working to strengthen our emunah. You know, it doesn't have to be Rachman al-Tzlan. In this case, Hani Alal Shom was so young and she was Niftaris. And this, she lost her son Eli and then her husband Chaim was Aharon of Kolesh. And in such a situation, that woman, Rechman Alitzlan, lost really a full-term baby. But it doesn't have to be the ultimate Nisayon for us to still struggle. The ultimate Nisayon meaning death in all three cases, different situations. It doesn't have to get to that point where we still struggle with different approaches. But as long as we're working on the key to feeling his closeness throughout the entire day, it's a valid approach. But it has to be with the ultimate end goal, and that's recognizing Hashem. And Henny, not Henny, Risa, Mrs. Risa Rodman writes that through it all, I saw Yad Hashem, and it can be very challenging. Again, it doesn't have to be the ultimate case for it to be challenging, but we're all working to reach that point. My friend, Zahava Farman, speaks about this. I want to see if there's a Bereshis, 1 second.
Either there is or there isn't. Just give me 1 second.
There are sets over there, so it should be.
Yeah, yes.
Gracious. I found. Oh, this is the Ramban. This doesn't. This is just the Ramban.
Do you want an English one?
You don't have any Vayikra Shmos Devarim in the Midbar. There are. I found the Gracious. I found Esther. I found.
I'm ready for it.
Esther, I found one. Come back.
She's such Gracious. She's always running. It's a big compliment. Okay, I found one. Come. So, thank you. So, Zahava Farman speaks very much about this because she says, thank you. She says that we see in the Torah that there are different approaches and one is not right and one is not wrong. They're just different. Specifically by the sale of Yosef, which is Perek Lamed Zayim. So, I have to see if I remember all of her examples and how she works this out. She says, Reuven comes to the pit and Yosef's not in the pit. He tears Kriya. That's Reuven's reaction. He was the Bechar. He had a responsibility. His sign of mourning is he goes into mourning. He tears Kriya. He says, where am I going to go? Yaakov, on the other hand, tears Kriya. He sits in sackcloth and ashes and he mourns for his son indefinitely. He goes into a state of mourning indefinitely. His sons and his daughters get up to comfort him. He refuses to be comforted. He says, I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. The very next story is Yehuda. Yehuda leaves the family, Perek Lamechas. He takes leave of the family. That's his way of dealing with it. Yosef is on the caravan trying to figure out what's going on. I don't remember the other examples that she uses, but she says, when you look at this incident, which is a traumatic incident, where they think that Yosef has died. In fact, if you actually go through the Mefarshim, there are many opinions that say they don't know what actually, it's way beyond the scope of this class. Whatever. It was a traumatic event. They don't exactly know where Yosef is. And you see that everybody deals with the situation in a different fashion. Okay? So as long as we're working to possessing the key to feeling this closeness throughout the entire day, I think it's very empowering to think, thank you, that every day we have a new chance to make a new impression. And that's powerful. In the morning you rise, you wash your hands. I'm continuing, page 92, third paragraph. In the morning you rise, you wash your hands, you go towards the bathroom. In the process you should think, am I alone or am I with someone? But you know, for me it's a little bit of a challenge because sometimes I'm thinking things, excuse me, when I'm in the bathroom that I shouldn't be thinking. And then I try and think of, I don't know, the weather and what should I make for supper, etc. It's hard sometimes for me to channel my thoughts properly. In the process, you should think, am I alone or am I with Shem? By the way, he's not saying when you're in the bathroom. He says when you go towards. Remember, you just woke up, you said the Moda Ani, we're working on being cognizant of who gave me my neshama, not only saying the words, am I alone or am I with someone? You should turn to Hashem. You should say, I know I'm not alone. You're here with me. You'll got a show if you're privileged to be among the first 10, because the first 10 bring down the Shekhinah. Everyone else gets schar for davening with the minion, but the first 10 bring down the Shekhinah. You should say, Hashem, am I alone? If there's no one else there, are you with me? In other words, excuse me, every stage of the day, you should repeat this point again and again until you're privileged to live at all times with the feeling Hashem is present. And keeping in mind, if one day didn't go so well, so the next day you're going to work on it again. We're like the tree. You cannot give up on yourself. The tree doesn't get to spring and say, Oy Nebuch, I was barren all these months. Well, done with me. That's it. I didn't contribute anything. No, I'm going to grow fruit now. There are many applications depending on each person's situation. But the common theme is that half an hour must not pass, with time even less, without remembering and saying, I'm not here alone, you're with me. So sometimes I find for myself, it's definitely more than half an hour. Sometimes it could be a couple of hours. You got busy, the laundry, the shopping, the errands, the dinner. And then, you know, I'm walking to the car, I'm like, oh, Hashem, where are you? You're right here with me. I can't say I'm at the point where it's every half an hour. But we're trying. I'm not here. You're here with me. How's everyone doing with that? You don't want to tell us. You don't have to tell us. Okay. I'll tell you how I'm doing. And if there are other people present, oh, look, then you should say, me and Shani have spoken about this. Do you do this out loud? Shani, remember we've spoken about it? Do you talk out loud or just between you and Hashem in your head? He actually brings that up. What if there's other people? So then you should say, I'm not only with these people, I'm also with you. Why are you laughing? Because I think we're crazy. Yeah. We're not at that point yet. I don't know. I think I told you that I heard Charlie Harari say it was a very entertaining, funny, powerful speech. And he said, you know, when you come out of, talking about the bathroom, he said you come in the bathroom and then you have to make an Asher Yatzar. And they're looking at you and they're saying, what did you just say? It's like, I didn't say anything. They're like, no. You were talking to somebody. What did you just say? He said, I didn't say anything. Said to him, I can never make an Asher Yatzar again the same. And now, like, I was just in the airport, and so you have to make Asher Yatzar. And I'm thinking to myself, like, not that they care, not that they're looking, but you're talking. Who are you talking to? What? Your Bluetooth?
But nowadays, it's not such a problem. Yes, right.
Nowadays, that's because nowadays everyone's crazy and they're all talking to themselves. We're just bringing up a point that we have to always really be having a running conversation with ourselves and Hashem. What did you say?
I cover my mouth when I'm in public place.
Right, so that they shouldn't think you're crazy. Yeah. Then they want to know why you're standing like this. Yeah. It's not so pasha. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe we're more aware of it. I don't know, because remember I told you when the guy in the plane asked me to move over, so whatever, I was asked to move out of the aisle seat by an employee of the airline to the middle seat because he wasn't comfortable in the middle seat. That was his, fine. So they said, what did you do? So I said, I moved over. I thought I could make a Kiddush Hashem. There were two non-Jewish people on either side of me. So they told me they didn't know you were Jewish. I said, but I was dressed. My hair was covered. I was davening. They're like, they still didn't know. I'll have to try. So in other words, everyone's talking to themselves in today's day and age. Okay, we have to be talking to Hashem. Yeah, Shani, was that your hand?
No, but sometimes you pay for that aisle seat.
So. We're all there.
I hope that I made a Kiddush Hashem. It was a very bizarre situation, actually.
No, sometimes you think that you don't. Where was I? I was at Lowe's, and I don't think I looked really. And the guard said to me, oh, you're getting ready for Shabbos?
Yeah.
Right, so maybe I made a Kiddush Hashem.
So
he told me he's a very big individual. He's very tall. He was very tall. He works for JetBlue, and he told me I'm not comfortable in the middle seat. Could he move over?
Okay. And JetBlue, you paid for that. Okay, I'm sorry.
I didn't tell him that. That should be his chus. We thank Hashem every morning. Oh, I'm quoting from Living Amuna 3. Okay. Even, you know, it's such a small example, seeing Yad Hashem everywhere. It really relates to Parsha, finding Hashem in the Teva and in the Lamala in the Teva. So when I prepare, you know, I don't want to just read the book to you because you could all sit and read the book yourselves. So that's not so interesting. So I like to try and bring us other sources. So when I got to this point, I don't know why, he's talking about the morning and he's talking about finding Hashem. So I said, let me look in this book and let me see. Malki Feldman gave it to me. She's not with us these few weeks, she's out of town, but my thanks to her. So I said, let me see. So this is mamash the first story, the first page that I opened up to. And I was smiling when I read it, because it was such Yad Hashem that it was just like directed. Of all the pages in this, I don't know, whole book, this is the page I opened up to. It has so many stories. You want to hear the first line?
Doesn't he talk about that one? Doesn't he talk about all the way in the beginning about like opening up and like getting to the...
Does he? I don't remember, but it was unbelievable. You want to hear the first line of the story? I promise you, I didn't go to any other stories. We thank Hashem every morning in Birkas HaShachar, the morning blessings. Right away, he's talking about the morning. For the soul he has given us. Every Jew is a portion of Hashem within him. That Sefer has certainly spoken about this. Our job in this world is to guard our soul and connect to Hashem as best we can. Such a small example, but it's really such a tremendous example that Hashem's always with us. We're always connected. So at times when you're hectic and you're making supper and you don't remember and this and that, so Hashem says, you open the page, you see where you're up to? I'm right here. Unfortunately, there are many Jews who don't know what their purpose is. Rav Soloveitchik says that. Rav Soloveitchik says every person comes to this world with a tafkid. He says not everyone knows what their tafkid is. That's a different story. But there's no such thing as a person comes here without a tafkid. We have a job to do. Tafkid is the same word as mifakid. A mifakid is the commander in Israel. What's the commander? He has a tafkid to direct the entire crew, the entire, whatever you call it, legion, kutsa, I don't know what they refer to, under his direction. He is a very important tafkid. He is to lead the show. Everyone here is a mifakid for their life. The problem is sometimes we don't know where our mifakid is. For some Jews, says Rabbi David Ashir, Hashem is not even in their vocabulary. How could you connect to Hashem if he's not in your vocabulary? Our loving Father wants more than anything to bring his children back to him. Sometimes he sends us messages to awaken us. Sometimes the messages are painful. Sometimes the messages don't make sense. However, if a person uses the messages to improve, he will look back and see what was being done was with love and compassion. Sometimes in the moment, it's very hard for us to see the goodness. But when we move forward from a certain place and you look back and you say, look where it projected me to. Look what it led to. Look at the rebirth. So he tells the following story. I know an oral surgeon who is a very kind man. For many years, he did not have much religion. He didn't even keep the basics like kashrus and Shabbos. One day, a rabbi came into his office with his son for a surgery, oral surgeon. The surgeon treated the boy as though he were with his own child. He adjusted the fee to make it more affordable for the rabbi who couldn't afford the full fee of treatment. The procedure was a success. The rabbi and the son left. They thanked him. They paid. 1 week later, the surgeon was in the middle of a procedure. There's a story he tells when suddenly a sharp blade from one of his instruments flew out and just missed his eye. He himself almost lost his eye. The surgeon was very shaken up. His partner completed the surgery. He went to sit down. Just then a rabbi, the same rabbi from last week, came with his son for a post-op check. So the surgeon said, Rabbi, I'm so happy you just walked in. I need to tell you what just happened to me. He told him the incident, he almost lost his eye, the sharp tool flew out. What should I do? I feel like Hashem is giving me a sign. He just saved me. This could have been disastrous. The rabbi suggested he start learning Torah once a week. They ended up having a weekly learning session. Years later, they are still learning. The surgeon is religious. He loves going to shul. He learns. He does mitzvahs. He picked up the subtle message from Hashem. He came back to his father. So sometimes what looks like it could be a negative turns into a positive if we allow ourselves to see that Hashem really is speaking to us. Risa Rotman writes at the end when they knew her husband was dying. The last day, there wasn't enough time. I didn't mark this page. I wasn't planning to say it over. Mamish at the end. So there was a son who lived out of the neighborhood. Here we go. It was Mamish, like her husband was Nifter, as Shabbos was going in. The vidui, Rabbi Tenheller was at the hospital. The vidui resounded through the hospital as the 20 plus men intoned the words from the depths of their heart. Not by coincidence was the middle bed missing to give room for all the men, I guess the other person in the room. The lovely young religious doctor passed the room as the vidui was completed. With tears in her eyes, she choked out, "Everything is the way it's supposed to be." No one wanted to leave, but Shabbos was coming. The last two people stayed till 4:30, 1 hour before candle lighting, and then took the kids back. Zevi, that's the son who lived in a different neighborhood, was once again appraised of the situation. He didn't want to come. His wife had a new baby, so he didn't realize the severity, right? The father had been in a coma for almost a year. He was appraised of the situation. He finally began to understand the severity. What should I do, mommy? It was too late for him to start. It was too late for him to start traveling to Jerusalem before Shabbos. I knew it wouldn't be good for him to make the trip alone. Zevi, she said, there are a million Jews keeping Shabbos this week. Why don't you join them? I will try, was the answer. And she doesn't write what happens, what the end result is with this child, but that sometimes from a negative situation, and it could be an exceedingly, and we're not diminishing that, painful situation. Sometimes from that difficulty, we sometimes find Hashem. I don't know what the end was. It doesn't say. I don't know what the end was. But that was her response. Her son said her husband was literally in his last hour of life, and her son was not going to be there. And he said, what should I do? And she said, keep Shabbos. That's what you should do. Join the millions of Jews who are keeping Shabbos. So what do we say to Hashem? I'm not alone. You're with me. Wherever we are, whatever our spiritual station in life, whatever our religious level in life, whatever our barrenness of the tree in life, however thorny that bush is, there is always a fire inside. Remember, that's why we saw the other week that he writes that sometimes it's extinguished. And we said that was very, was it when you were in Eretz Yisrael? Who remembers? He writes that the fire of the Jew is can become extinguished. And we said that it's not possible.
88.
Oh, thank you. If a person is distracted, page 88. But I don't believe that. I don't want to say I don't agree. I don't believe that. It's not true. If a person is... Why did that dentist become Shomer Shabbos from that? Because he understood that inside of him, there's always the flame. Did you see that on the airplane that was stuck in Goose Bay, Canada?
Yeah.
So you saw what the pilot said? There was this plane that had to make an emergency landing in Goose Bay, Canada. My husband's first cousin was on the plane, or my boss, Ohel, Harriet Blank, her son was on the plane. She told me Monday when I went in for shiur. Oh, anyway, Rabbi Willig from DRS with his shiur boys were on the plane. They made a kumzus on the plane. So when the pilot was told, does everyone know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
An Al plane on the way. Okay, Rabbi Beryl Wine. Rabbi Beryl Wine. Rabbi Beryl Wine's lady's wife.
Not everybody knows about it. So there was a flight, an Al flight that had to make an emergency. Do you want to tell them?
That's what I'm in the middle of saying.
On Matzei Shabbos.
I'm in the middle. Okay, go ahead. Rabbi Beryl Wine's wife was on Nifteris.
On Matzei Shabbos, this past Matzei Shabbos, there was Al flight leaving 11:50. 2 hours into it, they detected
a malfunction in the wheels.
And they did an emergency landing in Goose Bay, Canada.
However, in northern Canada.
They weren't allowed to get off the plane. They had to wait till another plane came. They were on the tarmac for
14 hours.
And they had to transfer to another plane.
Come. They couldn't, ladies, come. They couldn't get off the plane because it was frigid. They're in northern Canada. If I think Toronto was cool. They could not get off the plane. They also didn't have passports. They're on the plane for a dance. Baruch Hashem, everyone is fine. My point in bringing this up, they sent a new LL. You could Google it and find it on any of the Jewish news websites. Ladies. What is going on? Please, just talk. Okay. My point in bringing this up is that when the pilot was told that the passengers were saying Tehillim, he replied, I always keep the Tehillim that my grandmother gave me in my cockpit with me. So I have a lot of trouble with the fact that if a person is distracted for a moment, his inner fire is extinguished. It's not true. You'll need to awaken the power of soul new. It's not true that any station we're on, a tree looks dead. It's not dead. It has life. A person could also look spiritually dead, and it's not true. And wherever we are, even if we don't look dead, sometimes we're not where we want to be. But if we remember, I'm not only with these people. We're not here with each other only. The Shekhinah is also here with each one of us. And you're never alone. The true purpose of loneliness, top of page 93. Any questions or comments? Other than the plane. Top page 93. It is written in Sefer Bereishis. It tells you the source right at the bottom. Berg Beis Pasuk Yud Ches. Lo tov heyos ha'adam levado. Eise lo ezer kenegdo. When Hashem first created man and woman in 127, Perek Al Pasuk of Zayim, it was some kind of creation that we can't exactly understand what it is. It was a man and a woman together. Then Hashem took them apart. Then he created man in 2:7, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam. The first creation is the Bria, man is Vayitzer, woman is Vayivein, 2:22, I believe. So there are stages. Man and woman were first created together. Is everyone with me? For whatever divine reason, we can't say why to Hashem, Hashem took man and woman and separated them. In Perek Beis, you have the formation of man alone, and woman alone. But God says, Lo tov heyos Adam levado. After man is in male, Adam is created alone. Hashem says, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper opposite him. This is how man is made. It's not good for man to be alone. It's a principle of the Torah. It was brought down Right by Maisa Bereishis. Everyone has an inner need to connect to something. Before we continue reading, I'll tell you a beautiful vart that my mother sent an email to me a couple of years ago, actually, from a Rabbi Strauchler. I don't believe that he's the rabbi in their show in Toronto anymore, but Rabbi Strauchler wrote something beautiful. Only two times in the Torah it says, Lo Tov. One is here. Lo Tov Heyos Adam Levado. Eise Lo Ezer Kenegdo. Who knows the other time? I'll give you a hint. It's in the book of Shmos, and we're coming up to it.
So there's Marcos? Something with the Marcos.
No.
No.
So it's in Parshas. Yeah.
It, Yisro. It's not good for one man
very nice.
To be the
very nice, judge. Beautiful. Parakeet Tess. Lo tov hadavar asher ata osa. Nabal tibal gam ata gam ha'am. Yisro comes right before Matan Torah, and Yisro says, it is not good, he says to Moshe, what you're doing. What are you doing? You're judging all these people by yourself. Lo tov. You will become confused, you and the people. It's too much for one person. You have to know when to branch out and need help. So Rabbi Strauchler pointed out that both times it says lo tov in the Torah, it refers to a person's emotional state. And that emotional state is precipitated by a feeling of being alone. Adam was alone, literally alone. Not proverbially alone, literally. That's lo tov. And Moshe was isolated in terms of psychologically or emotionally, in terms of he didn't have judges to support him in his task. But both times, lo tov is a state where a person feels isolated from others. That's very impactful and that's very powerful. Just as an aside point, since he brings up lo tov ha'es adam levado, that we have a big chiyuv. Every person has a chiyuv to make people feel included. We always have to make sure. You know, it's such a challenge, especially it's very difficult to teach this to children, never mind adults, but also to children. You know, sometimes, I remember I was speaking to somebody who told me they came to our community, no details at all, they came to our community with a person that they were dating, and they went to shul, and nobody spoke to this person, this girl, and she felt very taken aback and insulted and not welcomed. Here he brings her to the community and not one person in shul. I'm not saying any shul. I'm not saying the people. I'm not saying any details. This could be any city in any place. But we have to make sure we're not that person. We have to make sure that we're not the person who just turns a blind eye, so to speak. That there is someone new who appears in shul. I have to go on my way because the only two times it is lo tov is in regard to a person's emotional state of being alone. And the interesting thing about Moshe, it's even more powerful than Adam. Adam is clearly alone. So that's lo tov. Moshe was not literally alone in terms of numbers. He was surrounded by a lot of people. So it teaches us something very deep. You could actually be surrounded by many people and still feel alone. It's very powerful. Did someone here want to say something? It's very powerful that sometimes you could be, so the two examples are similar and different. Sometimes you could literally be alone. Sometimes you could be with Taka, a room full of people, and you still feel very alone. So you have a chiyuv to make sure that anytime that girl comes into the show, go over, just to the Shabbos, how are you? You don't have to start a whole, it's not the FBI, you don't have to interrogate them if they seem they don't want to talk, okay? But just good Shabbos, this is my name. It's hard, especially if you're not a social person. Okay. But you have to make an effort. It's not good for him to be alone. So that's what Rabbi Strauchler teaches. Very powerful. I don't know if he's saying in someone's name. That's who I heard it from. Everyone has an inner need to connect to something. Why? Because it's built into my Bereishis. You understand? It's not like some silly thing that some psychologist came up with. It's built into the fabric of creation that Adam sees that every being has a pair and he does not have a pair. Each person has moments, and for some they could be long periods of time in which he may be in the company of other people. That's the example of Moshe by Yisro, right? You can be in the company of other people, and inside you feel lonely. Everyone is affected by this to some degree. So there's no such thing, he's saying, that your entire life you go through never feeling lonely or alone. It's not possible. Everyone, to some degree, will at times feel alone. Whether it's a nisayon that makes you feel alone, whether it's walking into a room where you don't know anybody and you'll feel alone. Listen, I've been in such a situation also. I remember being at a simcha in more recent times, and not one person spoke to me. And I don't know if it's because of my hearing loss. So I'm not a very, if I don't know people, I don't go out of my way to make a whole conversation because I know I'm going to miss, they're going to miss, they're going to have to repeat, it's just going to be frustrating, I'm going to have to go into the whole story. But I literally sat for almost 3 hours and nobody said anything to me. Yes, it doesn't feel good. And I'm not a person who lacks self-confidence. And I'm not a person who lacks self-confidence. I didn't like it at all. Sat there on the street. I was not one person. Said anything to me. It was like I was invisible. How could we do this to other people? I'm talking to myself. What about when I'm on the end of making someone feel uncomfortable? It's built into the fabric of creation that the Ribbono Shel Olam expects us. What do I live in a vacuum? It costs money? And my brother came to the house a couple weeks ago to pick up my nephews who were there. He was quiet, he'd come up from work, long day. So how's it going? After a couple minutes, he said to me, my own brother, and you know, I quote him, we're close, he said, I'm sorry, I'm not Besever Panim Yafos right now. I wasn't insulted, there was no insult. That's what he said. We have to be so aware of the panim you put on in front of other people. You saw a girl comes into shul, what's the impression she has? Someone's at a simcha, it's my own example. I literally sat there, not one person said a word to me. For most people, it's a rare occurrence to feel lonely. On the other hand, there are some poor souls, look at this, whose whole life is like this. So I had an experience for 3 hours. Imagine someone who's never spoken to. This does apply to each person in one way or another. There's no such thing as you are totally exempt. Every person at different points will feel this. It's extremely difficult with children, especially because they can be even more brutal. I remember from when I was growing up, than adults sometimes. It's very hard. Talking about Hani Machas, I wasn't planning to start with the Kotzko, but that's how we started the class. What I wanted to quote was two different vignettes from Hani, which I think we will end with. Okay? The point is that the Mechaber is going from here to talking about that if you feel alone, you're never alone. Who are you with?
Hashem.
Does anyone have a pen? Could I have it for a second? I have to write down a note. That's something I'm going to bring in to tell you next time related to this. Okay. Belinator. Asher was a middle-aged American man. Rabbi Machlis tells us. Asher was a middle-aged American man who was here a lot. He was probably a brilliant at some point in his life, but he had spent a lot of time in Bellevue, brackets, a hospital in New York, noted for its psychiatric ward. Asher wore a towel on his head. These people were such tzaddikim, it's not normal. Here I go. He had the strongest stench of any person who ever came into this house. This is Rabbi Machas relating, not a guest. Wherever I went with him, talking about, and part of the reason I'm ending with this, well, you'll hear in a second, doesn't need my introduction. We were just talking about being alone and exclusion. And I know this person who brought this girl to the community and nobody spoke to her. I sat at a table 3 hours. It was not a long time ago. It was in the past couple of years. No one spoke to me. Wherever I went with Asher, they asked me to leave. I went with him to shul. They asked me to leave. Rabbi Machlis says, I think it's against God to do this. What are we learning? Why is it against God? Because what did God declare? God said within, he created the animals, he created man, he created the sun, moon, and stars, he created grass, he created everything. Man, why did he say, it's not good, this situation. Lo tov, hadavar, sha'ata, osa. You could either be surrounded by people like Moshe and be alone, or you could be isolated and be alone. I went with him to shul. They asked me to leave. Says Rabbi Machlis, I think it's against God to treat someone like that. He was so hurt when people would ask him to leave. Hani would offer him every cologne or perfume in the house. She would let him take showers. She gave him clean clothing. When I finished the book, I was crying. Hani treated him with very great dignity. Here is someone who is able to see the neshama elokai, neshama eloki, and a person who everyone else isolated. Think about it. What's the worst punishment that we do? Recalcitrant husband who doesn't want to give a get. What does Beis Din do? What do we put him in? Cherim. Even in the non-religious courts, the worst punishment is solitary isolation because it's a terrible condition for a human being to be alone. And Henny was able to see how hurt he was everywhere he went. They asked him to leave. She treated him with great dignity. It bothered her so much. It bothered Henny a lot.
How could they throw him out of shul? It was a miracle he didn't make our house smell. He came to our house all the time, and nobody here ever walked out because of Asher. That's the miracle of our house. It was so inclusive. The warmth exuded by Hani and Rabbi Machos was so inclusive to every person that there was no such thing as Hayos Adam Levado in their home. There was no alone. You couldn't be alone, because even a person who had the worst, and Rabbi Machos himself could say this, the worst stench of anyone who ever came in, every shul asked him to leave. They gave him cologne, they gave him perfume, they gave him clean clothing. No one ever left us. Rabbi Machos says it's a miracle. The end is a little humorous. We'll end on a little bit of a humorous note. One Shabbos, a guy from California came to the house for the first time. He saw the crowd of people. He didn't even know where to sit. There are all these types of people here, and he realized he didn't want to sit next to anyone strange. He saw a man with a towel on his head. So he thought, oh, it would be safe to sit next to him. He must have just come out of the shower. Little did he know, I'm reading from the book. Little did he know who he landed next to. It ends on a humorous note. That's really not funny. It's really very, very powerful. Just like we don't want to be on the receiving end of being alone, we have to make sure we are never chas v'shalom on the end that makes people feel alone. And if you really feel the Ribbono Shel Olam is always with you, how could you ever do that to another human being? Just like he's with me, he's with you. And just like he's with you, he's with him. And just like he's with him, he's with her. And if you really perceive, I am not only here with these people, I'm with you. If you really perceive the Shechina, you will never allow such a condition to occur by the work of our own hands, Chas Shalom. It's a very strong take home Musar Hascha. So I give a Berkas Hejo to all of us. Wherever we are, we should take inspiration from the trees. The Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan says, the Mishnah, it's a time for regrowth and rebirth. And no matter where we are or where we have fallen or what we think we're not capable of, we are always capable of re-inspiration and rejuvenation and regrowth. But Ezra Sashem, thank you so much. I wish you a week of besoros tovos, yeshuos. Amen.
Amen.